रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः। सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 2 लंका। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। हनुमान द माइटी crossed over without the slightest sign of fatigue of weariness the sea till then impassable to any, and cast searching look at Lanka fashioned wonderfully on the crests of Mount Trikuta. He was covered all over with the flowers from the trees around, and gave one the idea of an image of a monkey whom its worshippers fashioned of flowers. Matchless in prowess, he leapt over 100 yojanas of water, but it tired him not the least, nor did he even breathe hard. "Why, I can readily cross over many 100 yojanas like this. It is nothing to me, this initial flight." Having leapt clear over the sea, he took his way towards Lanka, unmatched by anyone in valor or in power of flight. Swards of emerald green grass, forests of fragrant trees with huge blocks of granite scattered among them, met his view as he passed along. He left behind him hills covered with trees of various kinds and groves in full blossom. Standing on a peak of the Mount Trikuta, he cast his eyes over the intervening woods and a thick undergrowth beyond until they met the walls of Lanka built on the three-crested mount. Saralas, Karnikaras, Karjuras in full blossom, Priyalas, Muchilindas, Kutajas, Ketakas, Priyangus, Gandapurnas, Nippas, Saptaparnas, Asanas, Kovidharas and Karaviras, hid amongst the flowers and the buds and bending under their weight. Stately trees paved, as it were, the varied hued birds, trilling forth their liquid melody and gracefully nodding their heads to one another. Sheets of water bright with swans and waterfowls of various kinds, and white lotus, red lotus and utpalas of dark beauty. Pleasant resorts and parks for the masses. Deep pools where men may dive, swim, and to sport themselves. Royal gardens for the highest of the land, beautifully laid out with trees ever in fruit and blossom. All these and more met the eye of Maruti as he drew near the capital. And this was the home and town of Ravana, girt with deep moats, covered with lotus, dark utpala, and other flowers. Its lord guarded it ever more carefully than before, now that he had brought there Sita, dearer to him than anything. Rakshasas of frightful mien were ever on the alert all around, armed with bows and arrows. Its walls of gold were lost in the lofty skies. Its mansions, stately of form and dazzling white in the coat of rare cement, gave one the idea of secret planets or of autumnal clouds. The fortress walls were provided at regular intervals with favorable vantage grounds for attack and defense. Here arose aloft banners with flags worked in gold and silver patterns of tree and creeper. There met the eye others of the same kind, fashioned curiously like the monsters of the deep. Splendid porticos of gold, engraved with curious designs of creeper, leaf and flower, dazzled the eye. One could be pardoned for mistaking it for Amaravati, the capital of the gods. Anjaneya cast his eyes on that island fortress with its mansions dotted all over the mountain slopes and heights, and fancied it to be the huge city about to take an airy flight. It was Vishwakarma, the architect of the gods, that planned it. It was ruled by no less a person than Lord Ravana. Verily, Lanka, the fair damsel, shone in all her beauty and radiance. Her fortress walls and battlements thereupon were her broad and shapely hips. The deep moats of clear and crystal water were her fleecy white garments. The countless weapons of war ranged on her walls were her wealth of hair. The coins of vantage on the battlements were the ornaments that decked her shell-like ears. Though planned and fashioned by Vishwakarma, it struck one as a pure creation of the mind of a divine artist in the golden hours of his inspiration. Anjaneya was now close to the northern gate and cast his eye over it as it rose to the heavens like a huge peak of the snow-capped Mount Kailasa. The lofty palaces gave it the look of essaying a flight into the sky. Like Bhogavati, jealously guarded by the fierce Nagas, like huge mountain caves, fatal to approach on account of the cruel serpents around it, countless Rakshasa warriors with cruel fangs and frightful looks ever patrolled it, armed from head to foot. It was originally built as the capital for Kubera and was lovely beyond description, even beyond the power of imagination to conceive. Its fortifications were simply wonderful. Besides, it was set in the midst of a trackless waste of waters, ever impassable to any. Further, its lord and ruler was Ravana, the sound of whose name turns to water the hearts of all that hear it. Hanuman pondered over it deeply and said, "It is almost impossible for the monkey hosts to come over here. Even then, they would have nothing for their pains. The embattled hosts of Devas can make no impression upon this island fortress in a siege. Perhaps my Lord Raghava may somehow manage to come over here to this Rakshasa capital, verily impregnable in its fortifications and under the sleepless eye of its ruler, the dread Ravana. Well, even then, I doubt greatly if he could effect anything. The four expedients of kingly polity have no place here. Conciliation is out of question with these Rakshasas of demoniac instincts. Inducements or attractions of any kind would fail miserably in case of this abode of boundless wealth and splendor. Dissensions would be but a waste of energy with cruel giants bloated with pride and conceit of their strength, valor, and prowess. And their skill, strategy, and resource keep pace with their might. Hence, it is verily useless to think of fighting them to a finish. Angada, Neela, Sugriva, and myself are perhaps the only ones that could manage to cross over here. Let that be. My first thought and care must be to ascertain if the Lady Janaki is among the living or not. Let me find her alive. There is time enough to think about my future plans." He sat on the mountain crest for an appreciable length of time, plunged in deep thought of how to compass the interests of Rama and come to the prison house of Sita. When shall I enter the city? What form shall I take? It is utterly foolish to do it as I am. Mighty Rakshasas patrol every inch of ground here, cruel beyond description and shining in their energy and prowess. I must pass through them unseen to begin my search for the Lady Sita. I should take such a form as could not be easily detected by others. Besides, it must aid my purpose. A huge and terrible shape would be easily spotted by the Rakshasas, and a too minute shape cannot be of any use to me in a thorough search through the city. The night is the best time for me to enter the town and achieve my end. He once again gazed at Lanka, which the very gods dared not approach, and discussed plan after plan of search. How shall I manage to get at the Lady Janaki unknown to the wicked Ravana? What is the best means I should adopt so that the purpose of the all-wise Rama shall not fail? What expedient shall I devise to meet Sita alone? Verily, they say true that even successful missions prove barren of results, like a mist before the Lord of Day, should they be entrusted to a brainless agent who knows not to shape his efforts consonant to time and place. Why it goes further? A king should consult deeply with his ministers and advisors upon the pros and cons of everything, its possibilities, its obstacles, and then entrust the execution of it to an intelligent agent. Should he make a mistake in it, the master would have to thank himself for his ignorance. for agents come to think themselves extremely wise and resourceful and take the best course to spoil the business entrusted to them. But the purpose of Rama should not miscarry. Shall I enter Lanka even now in broad daylight, or is it better to wait till night falls? Shall I keep on this huge ship, or shall I take a very minute one? Never shall it be said of me that I was a fool, nor shall it go to waste my leap over the waters. Rama, from whom nothing is hid, intends to destroy root and branch Ravana, the demon king. So, should I be discovered by the Rakshasas during my search, my lord's purpose would be foiled. It is utterly impossible even for a moment to move hereabout with the shape of a monkey or a Rakshasa and not be spotted out by the people. What then of other forms? So, it is all unwise to enter Lanka with this huge form of mine. Verily, I think that even my father, the Lord Vayu, cannot move hereabout unknown to these demons. For nothing is beyond the ken of these mighty Rakshasas. Certain death is my lord should I remain here in this form of mine. And then goodbye to my master's mission. So I decide to enter Lanka after dark in a very minute form so that Rama's object shall be achieved. Till then, I lie hid in some mountain cave, and then I will take advantage of the night to enter this capital of Ravana, unapproachable by others, and make a thorough search until I come upon Sita. Thus, the monkey hero bent his energies to the task of finding the whereabouts of Sita, and eagerly awaited the sunset. And the sun did set at last, and brought the lady night in his wake. Maruti reduced his huge bulk to the proportions of a cat, and it was wonderful to see. He left his retreat at twilight and made a hasty entry into Lanka, with its streets and roads and squares beautifully laid out. It gave one the idea of Gandharva Nagara, with its row of palaces adorned with pillars inlaid with gold and silver, and windows and doors of beaten gold. Palaces 7 or 8 stories high dazzle the eye with their floors of crystal inlaid with the mosaics of gold and gems and garlands of pearls and precious stones. The doors of the mansions were decorated with gold and cast a bright and yellow light over the city. Maruti, intent on his search for Sita, beheld that city of the Rakshasas, fairer than the dream of an artist, and glorious in its surpassing beauty. And his heart was a prey to conflicting emotions of despair at the thought of its inaccessibility and surprise at its wondrous perfection. He could not contain himself at the sight of Lanka, guarded by the demons of frightful valor and ruled over by the Lord Ravana, its white domes and turrets piercing the sky and its windows and the lintels of massive gold encrusted with gems. And, as if to render all help possible to Maruti and take away his weariness and fatigue, the Lord of Night ascended to her lofty throne and, casting a veil of bright light over the earth, shone in all her radiance of countless rays in the midst of the twinkling stars. Hanuman gazed at the dispeller of darkness, clad in perfect white, like the perfect conch or milk or the filaments of the lotus, and exclaimed, "Do I behold in the lofty sky a lordly swan sailing joyfully over the limpid waters? For this luminary of matchless splendor can be no other than that." Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunardiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.